Thank you very much, Mr. Löscher. Now is the time for questions and answers. If you have a question, please raise your hands. I see some hands. I start with Mr. Schäfer. He signaled during the talk that he wanted to ask, and then Mr. Flemich at the center, and Mr. Wallers, Mr. Waldmeister, and then I'll take further questions, starting with Mr. Schäfer. I would always call two names, if possible, and please wait until you're handed the microphone, and then you can speak. Mr. Schäfer, microphone number two. Mr. Löscher, I have three questions. First of all, can you tell me how high you estimate the risk that your growth goals may be compromised by the currency war or protectionism? And the second question, the part of your growth strategy, the threshold countries, you said 37%. Can you look into the future a bit? How is this going to develop, and which role is China going to play? You mentioned Russia and Brazil when it came to new orders, but not China. Can you give me some information on that, please? The third question is the One Siemens and the transformation process. Can you explain why it is fair to say that the transformation process is over if a considerable part of the business, for example, SAS and MSN, are still in the middle of restructuring? Well, of course, as I said, the environment turned positive much faster than anybody expected in 2010. Nobody expected the world economy to pick up this kind of speed. Of course, we've benefited from this excellently, and therefore we are expecting a flattening in 2011. Also a flattening of the growth dynamics, but based on an excellent order backlog. And hence, it is important that during this crisis, 6 billion euro was built up as a order backlog buffer. Now, the health of our three focuses, industry, energy, and healthcare, and the cyclicality of our business as well, given all this, it is quite clear that we expect this dynamism to continue in 2011, and we're expecting Siemens to report further growth, both in new orders and in profits. But of course, you mentioned protectionism. There is no doubt that at the moment, also the crisis showed that protectionism is felt increasingly in the world. Now, we are positioned differently and a little better than other companies maybe, because the very global positioning of our company and also our value chain means that 50% of our business is made in the dollar area. And today we have a broader industrial base than many other companies. The threshold countries and look into the future, certainly this is also a differentiator. You have to remember that in many of these countries we are already established. So investment programs with local value and with local products is something we're going to focus on. So Siemens is positioned broadly, not only in high technology, but also the smart initiative. We want to specifically focus on those developing countries and become more relevant than we are even today. For this reason, of course, today, if you remember, which countries grew during the crisis. These were Brazil, for example, and here our revenue grew. China, 8.5 billion euro turnover, more than 40,000 staff. This is an important focus of our investments, of course. And the most recent successes, be it the Middle East, be it Russia, these are all countries where we are certainly keeping a track of the situation, and we're specifically enhancing our position there. We are focusing on growth here. China is one important market, but of course there are many more markets which are also part of our threshold market strategy and which we want to focus on as well. And don't forget Africa. The World Championship, the Football World Championship shoe that in South Africa, €1.1 billion was generated in terms of revenue and new orders. So the growth prospects in these countries are very good. Siemens and the transformation program. Now, one thing must be very clear. I think we've just been through a phase, and this is the new chapter, that group transformation programs, as we saw them in recent years, are behind us. Now, this is the message. There will always be individual elements in our portfolio where we have to change and adapt. This is the normal operation of a global company, and this is something we're going to do in the future as well. Mr. Flämig and then Mr. Malmeis in the second row. Mr. Flämig.
I have a question about three topics. First, the philosophy of One Siemens, then your forecasting policy, and then the stock price. One Siemens. It's interesting to see that you don't establish any targets, for instance, for the service business and for the development of business in the emerging markets. The key figures are presented in a rolling fashion, no longer by quarter. Forecasting policy into 11 is rather soft. The external view of Siemens is not going to be focused on quarters, but oriented by long-term or medium-term goals. Is that the answer? Your forecasting policy, there are no quantitative data for revenue and profit. And then the net result, you say, is 25 to 35%, which means I could imagine it to be 40 or 100. Then question number three, stock price. You didn't mention the development of the Siemens stock. Over the past 12 months, it developed quite well compared to others, but on a medium term, it's still lagging behind in a biannual perspective. From your point of view, what's the explanation for this? What will Siemens have to do to be recognized more at the capital market? I'll start with number three. The stock price is determined by our shareholders, and it's our job as managers of the company to steer and improve the company on a long-term basis to make it profitable. That's the purpose of One Siemens. We adopt a sustainable, long-term, continuous improvement policy of the whole group. And for this reason, we clearly have a philosophy saying that we now shift from the focus solely on margins, which of course we achieve those margins. We now have top margins compared to our competitors. But we shifted towards growth, which is the driving force behind the company and the company's value. We want to be leading in our margins relative to our competitors, but deliberately so also in the way we spend our funds in capital efficiency. And then this is a clear lever for our shareholders to be seen in the field of growth initiatives. In the growth initiatives, we have clear internal goals. The three initiatives are also transmitted outwardly in the environmental portfolio. We communicated an ambitious goal, one of the major growth initiatives. In the emerging markets, it's a subject of continuous advanced development. Hence the comparison you saw, 2007, no, 5, from 19 to 30% now. And this is where we want to improve continuously. Service business on the whole, this is not shown externally in a separate way, but we will furnish clear examples to show that also in the individual businesses, where the type of service businesses differs very widely, is indicated clearly to show improved development. This will be done within the framework of discussing the individual businesses, also with our investors, once a year when we meet our investors and talk about our businesses in detail. And the financial forecast? Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mr. Käser, forecasting policy. Mr. Flemmich, what the company did basically was to limit the bandwidth at the lower end. We deliberately entered this bound, and it's quite good if you can limit your risk at the lower end in times like these. We continue to work on this continuously. One fundamental quantity in the new company program is the aspiration towards improvement over the previous year, continuous improvement, and also improvement compared to our competitors, a challenge we face also in our forecasting policy. Of course, you can say that forecasts have become more short-term, simpler as well, and it's become more binding for one reason, namely that a clear percentage figure is shown in a bandwidth for the whole company's profit. It's no longer in terms of sectors or old Siemens vis-à-vis new Siemens, above and below the lines, no exclusion of restructuring efforts, and no exclusion of other one-off effects. What's still not contained are the influences due to regulatory and legal impacts. But all the other things are included. What you get is a reliable quantity for all of Siemens, not for parts of the company, for those which performed exceptionally well normally. Mr. Flemmich, this also applies to the one Siemens philosophy with respect. No criteria for service or growth in the emerging markets, things like that. In the company, we often made a mistake, namely that for all these supporting figures, enabler figures, we established targets which we did not reach. So the company did not perform much better in the final outcome. So growth, service, emerging markets, green portfolio, these are no ends in themselves, only supporting factors supporting sustainable growth in the company and sustainable increase in the profit. The philosophy of one Siemens, also with respect to our forecasting policy. And Mr. Schaefer, if I could add a word, transformation process come to an end? Well, especially the cultural further development of the transformation of the company is meant here, not just the structure. What Mr. Löscher introduced and which is lived by the company has been accepted by the organization. So Siemens is now an ordinary company having completed its transformation. Of course, there will also and always be changes in the spectrum.
Mr. Mahlmeister and then Mr. Weiss.
Mr. Flemmich, once again. Sorry, this is off mic. Your interpreter cannot hear what's being shouted. Well, clearly, we want to give a sign to you and our investors to the effect that compared to our competitors, you can judge us in that way. In growth and profitability, bandwidth over the industry cycles, and also in capital efficiency. And this is a sustainable, continuous program, and hence also a sustainable and continuous further development in the sense of continuous improvement over our competitors. The key element of the program, of the target system, it's not a program, it's not short-term in nature, it's the way in which Siemens wants to steer the group continuously and sustainably. So, logically, it's a long-term focus, a sustainable focus, and a clear relation to our relevant competitors.
Mr. Mahlmeister. Yes, good morning, Mr. Löscher. You mentioned a little while ago that growth is at the top of your agenda now. And now when I listen to you, I get the impression that this is really organic growth only. And you said that you've been through the restructuring now. Does it mean for you that external growth, acquisitions, will only play a marginal role? And since now you've defined your fields of business and not much will change about that in the foreseeable future, and basically everything is now cast in stone. And of course, growth is not very difficult for you. You're a cyclical company. When there's an upswing in the economy, it's easy for you to make profits. But when the economy goes down, you will feel it too. You will be affected. Now, will you use this good, favorable time to stabilize your group a little bit in the sense that when the next crisis comes, you'll be prepared and maybe the slumps will not be as heavy? We talked about nominal growth quite deliberately. Of course, we focus on organic growth, but it is quite clear that the core of our business might be, well, there might be additions to that. Now, don't expect acquisitions of the size of VDO, but there might always be smaller investments or acquisitions which will improve or support our business. We're focusing on both. We're focusing predominantly on organic growth. And I think the crisis has shown how stable Siemens really is, where the company is, also in a pre- and post-crisis comparison and in the most difficult crisis since 1929. The fact that we've been able to be ahead of our competitors, mainly in terms of growth and profit. And Mr. Käser said that this is, of course, beyond financial targets. It's the corporate culture we're driving. It is the mission we have as a leadership team. And there's also the change in the management culture, which is an important element at Siemens. This is an important part of this, and this is a reason why Siemens is again where it should be. Mr. Weiss and then Mr. Köhn.
Good morning, Richard Weiss of Bloomberg. One question for Mr. Käser, two questions for Mr. Löscher. Mr. Käser, did I do my sums correctly that the extraordinary burden in the past fiscal year are like these? There was diagnostics burden on SRS and industrial solutions, which adds up in my mind to 2 billion euro. Am I right? Could you roughly confirm what I just said? And what is the level you're expecting or are afraid of extraordinary burdens in the fiscal year just started? Question for Mr. Löscher. The redefined margin goals on EBITDA basis for the three sectors, if you compare these to the old ones, it looks as if they were slightly below the old ones. Why did you opt for this, and do you still think these are ambitious goals? Question number one for you, and the other one, you are supporting the green image of Siemens to much applause, especially given the massive protests about the repository for radioactive waste at Gorleben. And should you soon start building nuclear power plants again, don't you face criticism then? Well, Mr. Käser, Mr. Weiss, that's an important question because it also attests to the quality of the forecast. The examples you showed are correct. It was 1.2 billion write-offs of the goodwill of diagnostics. There were other structural changes and also positive effects on the other hand, which in 2010 helped us, such as one-off effects, such as our buildings policy, our real estate policy, where we're able to generate profits from selling off buildings and real estate and then leasing them back. That was positive. There were positive effects in 2010 as well. If you want to evaluate this operatively, you'll have to take these into account as well. For 2011, it's like this. Our forecast, as I said, includes everything. So there will be nothing to be deducted. All the imponderables we expect for 2011 are included in the forecast. Restructuring of SIS is more or less complete. Let me remind you, however, of the fact that we want to make SIS independent in an IT environment. It's a problem which will be associated with costs in 2011. That's because of the repositioning, as I said. So 2011 will see such structural changes as well. But, Mr. Flemmich, they are included in the forecast, and there is no if and when. It's an all-inclusive part of entrepreneurial performance. Mr. Weitz, about the margin goals, a clear difference must be seen. Our internal goals of margins, which we set out in the last programs, were internal margins relative to competitors, where we said that we want to move into the top category. What we are now setting is margins for the industry, over the cycle of these industries. That's what we expect in our businesses. You rightly point out that, of course, we are moving in the top area right now, which is one of the reasons why we say that if we think of the value to be added to the group, we'll have to focus on the most important lever, which is grow more strongly than our competitors in every cycle. When the industry can generate a top margin, we want to do that as well compared to our competitors. And when the industry is in the downward phase of a cycle, we still want to have the top position and the margin, but always subject to the fact that as far as growth is concerned, relative to our competitors, we want to be better. So the direct comparison is that we want to be at the top worldwide in all businesses. The green image, well, I cannot tell you very much right now on the topic you alluded to. We are in the phase of litigation with Areva. But Siemens, because of I&C technology, makes nuclear power plants safer, and we contribute to the so-called conventional area. Mr. Kuhn and then Mr. Meyer.
I'll start with an elementary question. How do you carry out this benchmarking? Do you have an internal analysis system, or can you look into the books of your competitors? How do you measure? This is a very elementary system of criteria which is built up. I can't see, or I don't think that General Electric would make their figures available to you. How do you do it? I can take this question maybe. This exists in our company, but this is not because we're looking to the books of our competitors. But of course, our competitors are subject to certain reporting requirements. Some are more transparent, some are less transparent. And of course, you have to differentiate and look at the figures they publish. Well, there are certainly uniform accounting standards. I think they all report according to IFRS or US GAAP. So you can, of course, look at this. Of course, there are certain areas which are more blurred, especially when you talk about large companies which have individual segments or sectors, and these segments are competing with us. The reason why we don't know everything beforehand, how our competitors will do in a certain given quarter, is also reflected because in our growth benchmark, we have a rolling four-quarter consideration. So it's possible, and this is quite usual, that we first publish figures, and we don't know what others are going to report, but this is different once a year, namely today when Siemens is closing the financial year and others have their quarters earlier. But this is reporting based on a rolling four-quarter system. So at the annual press conference, we give these figures, and it works quite well. The benchmark companies are quite well defined. We are very transparent. We measure ourselves against their performance. I have another question on the currency. I think you let this sound rather undramatic. It's nice if 50% of your revenue is in the dollar area and you have, you're securing this by your production, but shouldn't you be worried when you look at the situation, the G20 summit? Could you tell us a little bit more about this, also beyond Siemens? Because it seems we're heading for possibly, potentially difficult times. Your comment was a bit, unemotional. And then the Siemens targets, is this an infinite corridor of targets, or is there a system in place where you have a medium-term perspective where you're going to verify the targets? And finally, Mr. Käser, moderate increase in revenue. Would this be 3% or a corridor from 1% to 5%? What do you mean by that, at least for 2011? Mr. Koenigweg, I would actually like to limit my considerations to our business, to Siemens business, not other functions I may have, being the ARA president. Maybe Mr. Käser can talk about the hedging instruments a little bit, to how we handle the current situation. The sustainability aspect of the One Siemens program is exactly as we communicated it. Siemens as a normal top company, we just want to be at the top, and you should we should be transparent and tell you what we do with the capital we use. We want to, of course, become better, and regarding profitability, we want to be at the top league. This is why we have this program, which is a long-term program, so there are no plans in the foreseeable future to launch any other programs. And this is also part of the clarity we have, and we will not comment in my function as chairperson of the supervisory board. The hedging instruments. Yes, there was a bit of the question. Well, about the currency hedging. Of course, when it comes to our transactions, our infrastructure orders, when they come in, and this is quite usual, actually, maybe I have to add here that we have more dollar than euro requirements. We have a dollar long position, which means we have to see how the dollar develops. The alleged euro crisis, we used this in 2010 to hedge the entire business year 2010, basically, so that in 2011 there will be no negative transaction costs. Of course, the market value of the derivatives and the orders are not quite in sync, so there are slight shifts, but over the entire time we are hedged. We have natural hedges, which means that the value creation in a country corresponds to what you get in terms of revenue, and this is the best kind of hedging. And here we're improving our situation, but in some cases the customers are not where our plants are. The macroeconomic discussion with the currency war, I feel that sometimes we should be a little cautious and see things as they are. Look at the euro crisis. This is half a year ago, and now there's a dollar crisis. We shouldn't exaggerate or overemphasize the negative, and maybe not get too involved in this discussion. There are economies which are not doing very well at the moment regarding the economic situation, because for decades they've lost their industrial base. There are other economies which are doing well, because they created an industrial base and they learned that in times of crisis it's sometimes good to wait and not to take rash decisions. In Germany the situation was quite good. Together with the union it's been possible over one of the most severe crises in the post-war history. We were quite calm. And when the economy picked up, which was unforeseen, by the way, people were there and they could produce for what there was a demand. That was a difference. That's all we can say. And everything else is by the by. Of course, if you have a difficult position and the currency rate goes down, then you make losses. But this is something natural. And this is nothing new. And getting back to the topic, moderate. What is moderate? Strong growth is double digit. Clear growth would be between 5% and 10%. But moderate, what moderate is, well, you have to define for yourself, I suppose.
We'll leave it to you anyway. It's not strong and it's not clear. Mr. Meyer, good morning. I'll try to find a fly in the ointment. Let's look at the divisions. Industrial Solutions, which doesn't look too good in terms of revenue and target margin. Is that the child which makes you concerned? Well, Siemens also tells us that they're looking for engineers. What is the current status? Are you still looking for engineers? 300,000 staff members is the target. Outside of Germany, that would be 23,000 more. Will that mean that 23,000 persons in the country will be made redundant? I'm, of course, being provocative. Then Mr. Lacour. Mr. Meyer. We don't have any targets with respect to headcount. The customers determine the growth dynamics, where there's dynamism, and then we'll adapt accordingly. But I think it's an important sign of this crisis and an expression of the stability of our group that in a crisis, comparing last year to this year, we built up 7,000 people. We're now at 4,500 people. The problem in Germany is the key problem, in fact, above and beyond Siemens, is that we don't find enough engineers and continue to need them. Despite the good fact that as a result of short-term work, we were able to maintain our staff level, which benefited us at short notice, we still have to see to it that training is intensified very much, that has become even more necessary after the crisis. Also, skilled labor needs to be better educated. The lack of engineers in this country hasn't yet been solved by far, so we are urgently looking for engineers in some areas. 3,000 persons are wanted whom we want to hire, most of them engineers, whom we need for innovative growth out of Germany for the world. And they'll be very important on that count. We're trying to address the problem comprehensively, but it's indeed a major problem and one of the key also political topics, qualification that is. Young people, making them enthusiastic about technology is important. Also women. INS, well, of course. We don't like the margin in this quarter. That's a special topic. And of course, we made provisions for that case because in a project in our water management business in the U.S., we found some uncertain factors, which we corrected in this way. But that's not an expression showing that, on the whole, we have a massive problem with INS. This will be focused even more strongly on the service business. That's a forward-looking statement, but we have problems with this project in the U.S. Mr. Lacour and then Ms. Meyer.
Thank you very much. Two, three questions. Mr. Löscher, you often mention your competitors, but without naming names. Take General Electric. Can you say today, you're at the same level or you're even slightly ahead of them? And how do you want to achieve that position? The second question, the results of the sectors. You have very ambitious targets for next year. How about the result relative to revenue? When I look at profit total sectors, 10.7% vis-à-vis revenue. So if you have such ambitious targets, 25 or 20, 35% or more even as a target. And maybe one final question. This is relative to France, where Cali is no longer the head. What is this process going to be like? What's going to happen there? Well, we are currently in the selection phase. We've carried out interviews with a number of candidates, and we will certainly soon be able to communicate this. This is the new position of the CEO of Siemens France. The success of Siemens, I don't want to link this or project this onto a competitor. We have become more competitive. We're now in the top category. We are where we want to be, and this is the expression of and expressed in our program. I don't want to speak or speculate about other companies today. The profit total sectors, it was quite deliberately that we did not define targets for the sectors. Instead, we gave a clear signal. Siemens doesn't want to excel through initiatives or activities. Siemens simply wants to be at the top in terms of revenue and income and take a lot much of the insecurity out. We used to have discussions, well, Mr. Löscher, the operational business is doing well, but under that, in the level underneath, things are difficult. Now, we wanted to take this uncertainty out. This is why we are focusing very clearly to at least 25% to 35% in terms of net income regarding the continuing activities.
Ms. Meyer, and then Mr. Munz. There are three complexes I'd like to address. One, Siemens. Could you please tell us the margins for the sectors for last year? Industry, energy, and healthcare? Then you established a new bandwidth for the degree of indebtedness. At least 0.5 should be the level of indebtedness. You were at 0.08, so there was something missing. How do you want to increase the level of indebtedness? Maybe are you planning to sell off stock? Then another complex, which is real estate. Mr. Käse, you addressed it. You sell off real estate and buildings again and again. Why do that against the backdrop that you have too much money, not too little? And could you also indicate the performance of last year of that activity? And where is that entered? Is it included in the profit of your sectors? And then SIS. This company is no longer a member of the group. How many jobs were made redundant, and how many more will be made redundant? What are the next few steps of restructuring? Because business continues to suffer. Third quarter showed a decline in revenue. What are the next steps? This is for Mr. Käse. Yes, well, that was my impression too, says Mr. Käse. Ms. Meyer, the EBITDA target, well, these are industry targets. Our model, the One Siemens model, assumes that in the industries in which the three sectors work, certain peak-to-trough EBITDA margins can be achieved. In the trough, the lower limit should be covered, and at the top of the cycle, the upper limit. It's also called profit pool. What can you achieve in terms of earnings in a special industry? When do you start inviting new players? When will customers complain? These are the basic assumptions, industry-oriented peak-to-trough margins across the cycle. Why do we do that? We do it because we want to understand on what cycle we are moving in our earnings and where we'll have to adjust in the company. Cost cutting primarily, then you don't have to emphasize growth when the cycle is on the downward trend, or emphasize growth when we think we are at the up end of the bandwidth of the cycle, which I think we are. If we are wrong in the bandwidth, the principle is the foundation should be continuous improvement compared to our competitors in the field. This is just as a matter of principle. EBITDA margins 2010, 12.9 in industry, energy 15.5, and healthcare 20.9. Which shows how these assumptions or this theory we established in our model just proved to be conclusive. SRE, oh, why do we have the type of real estate policy we have? Well, it doesn't mean that we run out of money, as you rightly said. It's not a point of liquidity. No. We have fixed costs are to be managed over time variables on a long-term basis. Our activities must be oriented to where the growth is, where our customers want to have us, where they buy our products. I share the opinion which we heard initially that protectionist, or let me put it differently, movements which will have protectionist characteristics in the end cannot be excluded. I take it that they will increase with the split, the increasing split in economic power. Hence, flexibility must be preserved not only in terms of resources, but also in terms of real estate and buildings. That is the strategic background. The reactive capacity of assets which are normally not mobile. This is accounted for in SAE. This is shown SRE. Mostly the outcome is positive. In SIS, I said this while you weren't here, SIS restructuring, well, you see, I noticed you weren't here. Well, this restructuring is more or less complete. We reached the target we wanted to have, 2,000 jobs in the country and about 2,200 abroad. And this is now being implemented. Agreements have been concluded. This also added to 380 million to the restructuring accounts, as the report says. That SIS generated less revenue is necessarily bad. We said we focus on applications which SIS handles much more effectively, and we said that regionally we want to focus clearly on certain industries. So this is a logical development. I'm sure you will have noticed that the order intake was higher than revenue. Book-to-bill above one, which is something which is good to build on. The capital structure. Well, first of all, we must say that in Germany, one hears that we deliberately, intentionally missed this target. The capital structure is net indebtedness over EBITDA, that is the leverage in the balance sheet, that is on capital compared to borrowed capital. We did this although Siemens was never in a crisis. We had no crisis in the balance sheet. Entrepreneurially, yes, but not in our balance sheet. We could have raised the dividend quite well or increased our indebtedness. The point, however, was this: the uncertainty among our partners was greater. When you borrow capital on the capital market and obtain loans, you must have somebody who's available for that, which in large parts of the country, this was not the case or was uncertain. So we decided to be independent in terms of financial flexibility in a forward-looking way. That was the entire reason, which means we have cash of 14 billion euro, which is not something that robs me of sleep, but we aren't going to spend the money carelessly. We'll handle it carefully, and the first step is, as you heard, that the dividend was increased clearly, raised to a different level, and otherwise we continue along these lines. I have seven more requests for the floor. If you all could be compact, we could try to manage this. Now it's eight, but then I'd like to close the list of our requirements. Mrs. Mikhailova, Mr. Haselrieder, Mr. Stahl, Mr. Magen, Mr. Hesse, Mr. Decker, and Mr. Flämig at the end again. I'll start with Mr. Munz and then Mrs. Mikhailova. Mr. Munz.
One brief question, Mr. Löscher. In the threshold countries, you see a high growth potential. What does this mean for jobs in Germany? The problem with engineers you just mentioned. But generally speaking, the number of jobs in Germany at Siemens over the next 5 years will probably increase or decrease. I think what we've shown is that, first of all, when you look at the staff, for example, in Berlin, 90% of our employees are working successfully for export. So we've proved that we can produce and sell top technology, German top technology, in the world, and we can develop it further. But it's also clear at the end of the day, and we're not giving any figures, but there will be a different growth dynamics, which may have an impact on the headcount. This is why the qualification is so important. This is not a question of quantity, that's one aspect. But this is why we have many initiatives. For example, we have 10,000 trainees. We are offering dual training programs for our trainees for the very fact that we want to train engineers in-house. We have further qualification programs or initiatives for skilled technical workers. It's not a question of quantity, it's also a question of the quality of the training, of the skills. And this is why we are focusing very much with our programs, especially for German staff members. All right, then next to Ms. Mikhailova and then Mr. Haselrieder.
I'm from Russian news agency Interfax. Could you tell us, please, what was the amount of investment in projects in Russia last year, and how much will Siemens invest this year? And the next question, what are the next steps of collaboration with Russian Railways and Rosatom? Thank you.
We do not issue any guidance about main investments into specific countries. Let me give you an example. During the crisis, we just proved that we had launched outstanding investment initiatives, especially in Russia. Russia, over the past couple of months or years, was greatly supported in its modernization agenda. You addressed one part, and very important part. It's the modernization program of Russian railways. This is where We focus on Yekaterinburg together with partners. Also in the energy sector, we advanced work in various Russian locations. There are clear focal points within the Siemens Group in that respect. And this is the very model we want to advance further. That is, together with partners, also advance further local value added, so that the enormous need for sustainable infrastructure development in Russia can be managed as a lead or supported as a leading technical company. You asked about the further development of our partnership with Russian railways. The last focal point we saw was that the Sochi trains were developed or are being developed jointly out of Russia, part out of Germany. The electric engines here, Yekaterinburg, are now being fabricated. The first Siemens electric engine will very, very soon be ready. I'll be there to see the first engine coming off the conveyor belt. The first major contract with Russia has just been concluded. There are lots of things more, especially in healthcare technology. We have hold an excellent market share in Russia. And again, out of this market position, we can develop the market together with other partners. So across the width and also in the position held by Siemens, we are perfect and perfectly geared to the requirements of the Russian market. And I'm sure that we have the outstanding technological partnership which we'd like to keep up, and we are proud of this fact. Mr. Haselrieder, then Mr. Stahl.
One question to Mr. Löscher. Sorry, could I just say something about Rosatom?
Rosatom, well, there's still litigation with Areva going on, so I'm not allowed to make any public statements on that. Sorry. Headcount, Mr. Löscher, the personnel are allowed to participate in the success of the company. Bargaining increases are paid earlier, and there's also a special payment. Is that a policy by symbols? The answer, no, not at all. The success we achieved and the outstanding position of Siemens during the crisis, I think, are due to the efforts of the staff. At managerial level, this is then shown by the fact that the staff members received a higher bonus. But each individual staff member made their contribution, so we deliberately paid out a special bonus, which applies not only to German staff, but is paid worldwide, and every staff member will receive a thank you from the company, not only managerial staff.
Mr. Stahl and then Meyer. Mr. Stahl, Mr. Löscher, today you used some metaphors from the world of football. You said Siemens is playing in the Champions League again, for example. Do you see yourself as a coach in your role as a CEO? And if so, are there any coaches you specifically admire? And to pick up a second thing you said after 12 years of transformation, Siemens is a normal top-class company again. Does this mean that your team is back in place and some fine-tuning is still necessary? Thank you. Yes, well, thank you. This is true, and I suppose you can also read this in detail in a well-known media who I admire and which team I endorse and support. Right, a well-kept secret, Mr. Wagner. Three short questions. One about your revenue growth. Regarding your environmental portfolio for 2014, you gave us a figure, 40 billion. What will be the revenue situation at Siemens? And then NSN, 241 losses I found in the documentation. Is this only the quarter, or is it the total loss for the entire business year? and about your Alstom problems and the ICE trains. Can you tell me, do you see any chances of success here regarding the Alstom front? Well, I'll start with a last question. There was an invitation for tenders on a European level, which was very transparent, and we submitted our bid. And I can sleep well. I sleep well at night. I'm quite happy about this. Well, next, Mr. Käser. Well, regarding NSN, the 250, that was for the Siemens quarter four 2010. The total figure is 533 million in the at equity result. Then the revenue figures, you asked a question about that, where the green revenue is 40 billion. Well, the 40 billion can certainly not be added, and believing that we've scaled new heights. Green products are innovations, and they are at the cutting edge of innovation, and the innovation causes new solutions to arrive, and other products reach the end of their life cycles, and this is an evolutionary process over time. The economic, ecological portfolio, we're focusing on it, we're giving targets, but we will see. This will be subject to a development where certain products will reach the end of their life cycle. But the ecological portfolio is outgrowing the rest. We can say that much. There was one question off mic. Answer, well, I can't speculate on that. When we're a little closer to that time, we can maybe say more.
Mr. Hesse, followed by Mr. Decker. I wanted to try to elicit from you some more specific words about your targets. You emphasize growth. Could you give us an idea of the absolute growth of your revenue? The environmental portfolio may be not up until 2014, but maybe for next year. A related question, do you want to achieve this also by buying up companies? You have cash reserves of 14 billion. And with a view to the emerging markets, where you see special growth potential, can you tell us in what sectors growth is expected and give us an idea also of the regional focal points? And then on NSN, you once indicated that you're looking for financial investors to acquire interests. Has there been any progress, any indication of when this is going to work out? The emerging markets first. Of course, we'll cover this across our portfolio. That's our strength. This is the opportunity which we have as Siemens, that depending on the political programs that are being implemented, not too long ago, I had a talk with leading politicians in South America. And the key topic on the one hand was cities, sustainable urban development, and the contribution Siemens could make, the whole subject of water treatment, solar power, mobility solutions for intra-urban traffic, electric mobility. 2 weeks ago, Master City, the whole subject was completed. An important focal point was established in an Arab country. These are important subjects. Across the board, it's always energy infrastructure. And again, there's a major focal point of growth and a difference between industrialized countries and developing countries. New capacities are being wanted in the developing countries. Our transmission technologies. In India, for instance, we are presently addressing a very important point, our local manufacture, meaning that we work for rural health care by establishing smart products an important local point. Various initiatives, different initiatives we can handle through the range of our portfolio. BRIC countries is just one thing, one of the buzzwords we use, but the subject goes far beyond that. And I don't want to detract from that. Also African countries, South Africa, that's become an important area over the past 2 years. Morocco, for instance, now want to spend 9 billion euro to be invested in renewable energies. There are many, many focal points, and that is the difference. We at home in all those countries and regions where these projects are being discussed, and we can offer solutions with our products. Then about to make this more precise, 2011, in the outlook you can see a description that shows that this is organic growth. These qualitative descriptions are very detailed. All this is meant to be organic growth without selling off companies or buying up companies. That would change the situation. As I said initially, if it's between 5 and 10, and if you want to have a piece of sound advice, I think there's enough food for thought. We don't know any more, so we can't give you the percentage exactly, but the growth objectives, as far as order intake is concerned, is clearly directed at mobility. That's a very important area. And also renewable energies. Here we expect a major order intake. And then the automotive industry and machine building, which are also prime movers of growth, will further maintain this level. Then also industrial automation and drive technology will benefit of the upswing and also support growth in order intake in 2011. That's for certain. In revenue, we succeeded basically over the past couple of years to keep revenue almost stable, despite financial and economic crises. And by our very balanced portfolio, which is at different levels of the cycle, short cycle industry various compared to long cycle effects, we were able to keep this balance over the years. Hence the growth euphoria, which can now be noticed everywhere, is also shown in our order intake and revenue. Health systems, that's not a cyclic business, so there will be no major changes in revenue or order intake. That's all we can say. Next question by Mr. Decker.
My question is directed at the portfolio. Your spending on R&D, when I look at page 4, there it says we've improved on important fields and withdrawn from important fields like telecommunications, but I don't think you mean that telecommunication is unimportant, it's just unimportant for you now. But of course nothing is possible without telecommunications. So in a way you would now depend on other companies with everything you do. Whatever you do in industry, you depend on other companies. And when it comes to your R&D budget, have you also completely shed any kind of basic research in telecommunications? Are you just pursuing what's in your portfolio, what can be directly turned into products and will earn you money? Or have you found a way, because Siemens used to be a great R&D company, and there's one open, isn't there? Maybe I'll start, says Mr. Käser. I didn't drop this deliberately. NSN had a very good development in the past 12 months. They're still tops, or again, tops in technology. For a while, there was too much focus on cost-cutting, which is why it wasn't always like that. We have won most contracts of the fourth generation, NSN now got the largest order in which was ever awarded in telecommunications in the United States. High amount, billion euro amount. But we are thinking quite intensely about possible change in the ownership structure. There are reasons for this, and there's nothing to report on that beyond that. So if this were so, we would. And this the telecommunication subject, you know, this is important to me. I think we have to differentiate much between technology and applications. Telecommunications as an industry is a difficult one, not only linguistically but also technologically. This is true, and the profit pools are very weak and the prospects are very low. This is when you look at the growth targets everywhere. Now, the technology, the wireless transmission is, of course, used. We use this in our industry to a very high degree. This is why we are in a very good position, actually, regarding the use of telecommunications technology in the house. This is also data transmission, etc. This is an important thing. And the decision to shed telecommunications is and was the right decision. Mr. Flämig.
I have two questions about the financial goals, the forecast, and then the target bands. I'm still missing the information which I need to show the quality of the forecast. 25% in 1 year was the euro. One-off factors you had last year, 2 to 3 million euro. And then I could say Siemens forecast 1 to 2 billion euro loss in profits, which can't be. What's the balance between positive and negative one-off factors in the last fiscal year? And what is the normal level? Mr. Flämig, I got your point, says Mr. Kaiser. I think it would be good to regard the special write-offs in healthcare as a figure to measure the lowest level of performance in the company. 1.2 billion related to 4.1 billion really gets you to the lowest level of the forecast. That is correct. Perhaps I should start by saying that, of course, growth costs money. If you want to pursue growth, it's not just a change in the foundations of a company, but an entrepreneurial policy. For 2011, we provide for expenses at a similar level as the positive or negative one-offs in 2010, which had a positive operating effect last year. I'll repeat this. The level of the so-called negative one-offs in 2010 correspond roughly to the planned operative expenses for growth in 2011. It's mainly the strong increase in investments. We know that it means also write-offs, but it also has an impact on the free cash flow. I think about a clear increase in R&D expenses, far above the relative growth share, that is R&D expenses for innovation, ecology, etc., will also relative to sales, to revenue increase in absolute terms as well. And in emerging markets and the regions we address, we'll have growth only if there's a sound and solid global market approach. Also, the go-to-market costs within SG&A will be increased. SG&A, here we have a clean structure. The SG&A costs will not increase significantly, but the go-to-market and distribution costs will be increased. And these planned cost increases in the forecast will result in what you said. The positive thing about this is that all these costs, CapEx, R&D, and also go-to-market costs will be subject to our own decision. The level in SG&A was reduced clearly earlier than planned for, on a level across the board, but now we deliberately are building up again, decidedly so in certain regions. And when growth may be not developing the way we thought because of protectionism or currency wars, we are not going to do it. That is the qualitative big difference to the forecast and the increases in expenses in 2011. In question, negative operational effects in 2010, there are no write-offs of $1.2 billion if you take this as a bandwidth and add this to the effect, then on a net basis you have achieved the bandwidth. There were also positive effects in 2010. Second question about the target bands. You introduced the EBITDA instead of the EBIT target bands. If I compare the two, they are not just a bit lower, but significantly so. So fiscal 2010, industrial business, the EBIT margin was 10%, which was 11% above the low bandwidth of 9. In EBITDA, it would be 29% higher. Translating this means that the margin bands were reduced by 1 or 2% in gross figures. Why did you do that, Mr. Kayser? Well, I gave you the EBITDA figures in the financial statements. You can read them. They are, let me find it again. Well, I gave you the figures. That was just one aspect which should be added. When we look only at the sectors, for instance, from 2011 fiscal on, the former central operational costs of the company will be spread over the sectors, such as costs for supply chain management, costs for marketing and go-to-market expenses, which we formerly shared, will now be attributed to the sectors. The question may be why we didn't do this before. The answer is that when finding our targets for Fit for 2007, a certain definition was used as a basis. And we thought it would be unnecessarily difficult to change the targets during the running time of Fit for 2010, because the target margins would have had to be changed as well. So we wanted to establish clean comparability of the figures throughout the running time of Fit for 2010. Why do we do it now? Well, we do it now because we want, in the new target corridor, where we also emphasize very much the comparison with our competitors, we establish better comparability of the contents of profits between the Siemens sectors and the peer companies or sectors in industry we compare our performance with. Depending on the sector, the effect is between 80 and 100 basis points. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for coming and for the discussion. I'd like to thank my team for the comprehensive preparation and the early start. At 4 p.m. Central European time this afternoon, you can trace on the Internet our London Analyst Conference. Our report will be published on the 2nd of December in the morning, online. We'll meet again at the shareholders' meeting on the 25th of January and the report on Q1. Lunch has been prepared outside and the working rooms continue to be available. That was all. Have a nice day and end the year leisurely. Thank you.